Buddy, call to order, and if we can stand up for the Pledge of Allegiance, and I will let Sheriff Doug Schuster lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Please join me. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Matt, I'll turn it over to you for introductions, presentations.
Okay, I'm going to start with the roll call, sir, if that's okay. Okay. Commander Figueroa was not unable to make it today. Mr. Johnson's in the room. Ms. Kelly's in the room. Detective Crazier's in the room. Director Porfiri's in the room. Professor Robinson's in the room. Sheriff Schuster, welcome. Would you like to introduce yourself?
I'd be happy to. I'm Doug Schuster. I'm the sheriff of Mojave County. This is my first board meeting. I hope I can be of some value to post. I've been with the sheriff's office for 32 years, serving in my second term as sheriff. And it's nice to get out of the heat to come down to the heat. So thank you.
Sheriff, we look forward to working with you.
Thank you.
Colonel Silbert's in the room. He'll be acting as chairman today. Chief Vasquez, I see you on the phone. Can you hear us?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Chief, thank you for joining us. We know what you and your community are going through. Our thoughts are with you.
Thank you.
Ms. Weiss, I see you on the computer. Can you hear us?
I can hear you. Thank you.
Good morning. Mr. Good morning. Chairman, we have a quorum. And if you'd like, I can go right into my introductions and presentations.
Please.
Monique Cody will be your IA today for any final action cases where you have legal questions. And then this is kind of just goes to show that our agenda is a living document. We have quite a few changes today, so I'll give you a minute to take a look at your agendas, and then I will go through the changes we're making. The first one is under the beginning. It's item number E. It's a Springerville petition for a peace officer they wanted to hire. They have, I talked to the chief last week, there's been a change, and they are pulling back that petition. That applicant's no longer interested in joining the Springerville Police Department. We're going to pull, stay in that same vein, we're going to swap the order. We're going to actually handle the petition for Apache Junction first, and then Coconino County. It's a logistical issue for us, so we're just going to reverse those in the order of the agenda. And then some new cases we're going to pull. Again, things are always changing here, but we're going to pull the first case is William Gallego. It's SOI 2021-053. The next case we're going to pull is Anthony Alvarez, 2022-100. The third one is Manuel Castro, 2021-089. Fourth one, Jesse Ranzau, 2022-028. And the final one is Chris Long, 2021-089. And the final change is you have a proposal for a new annual qualification update, and we're continuing to work on that, and we will bring that back more than likely at a future board meeting for your discussion and review. But again, right now, it's best just to hold that for now and make some changes to that. With that, I have no more announcements. Happy to answer any questions, or I can move right into my executive director's report.
Director, I do have one question.
Yes, sir.
After Gallego, when I got down to Castro, I missed one of them in between.
Anthony Alvarez. Mm-hmm. It's 2022-100. Okay. Any other questions? And I'm going to keep my director's report fairly short today because it's a little changes. We had a very, very robust agenda, but just a few things I wanted to cover. I always like to keep you updated on what me or any of the members of the staff are doing on your behalf. Last week, as you know, we attended the ACOP Summit up in Flagstaff. It was really well attended. A lot of really good training, which I'm proud to be a part of the ACOP training committee to bring those trainings to the attendees. But I'm really proud of our four-hour class. As you know, on the Thursday of that week, we always get a four-hour block in the morning. On your behalf, we try to locate really good talent to come in and talk. We had a gentleman by the name of Eric Kowalczyk. He's a retired captain from Baltimore PD. He was their main PIO during the Freddie Gray riots. He's since retired, and he does speaking on crisis communication as well as planning for your worst day. It was a four-hour block of instruction. He does a class for us through our executive leadership program. I saw bits and pieces of that, and I really liked it. But I sat through the entire four-hour class on Thursday. excellent. Excellent training, excellent presenter, a lot of really good feedback for people who sat through the training. I thought it was very worthwhile. So, again, I was very happy for that. And Chuck Miller, thank you for connecting with Eric, and thank you for coordinating his attendance at the summit. Other things is yesterday I was on a webinar with the COPS office out of D.C., and then about 30 members of Arizona law enforcement to announce a new partnership. We have partnered with the COPS office and their online training portal. They have 27 classes that are on there now, high-quality training, and we have agreed with them that we will provide continuing training credit for any Arizona peace officer that takes any of those classes. It's countless hours of training, but there's 27 standalone classes. And again, we always talk about it. We need to find ways to better serve our rural and small agencies, and this is right in that wheelhouse where they can log on. Really, they can log on from their MDC in their cars if they were in a safe location to do so. Access this training. We've already approved it. They would get a continuing training credit confirmation notice, submit that to their agency, and they would get those continuing training hours. We're the first post in the country to enter into this agreement with COPS, so I'm really proud of that. They pushed out a media release today. We did the same thing. So again, I'm really proud of that, and it's on behalf of Arizona Post and the direction you've given me and the autonomy you've given me to do those things. I think we're on the forefront of what training will look like moving forward. Other things is, again, I'm the old man here. I don't have any social media, but we have jumped right into 2022, and we now have an Arizona Post Twitter account. So please follow us. We'll be following all of your respective agencies. Again, just looking for ways to get out information about what we're doing here at Arizona Post. The men and women in this room do so much on a daily basis. I want to make sure that not only the community, but also the greater law enforcement community understands that we are a resource and the things that we do for them on their behalf on a daily basis. A couple other things. I was a panel member at the Arizona State Bar Convention a couple weeks ago with Ryan Green from MCSO and Elizabeth Ortiz from APAC, where we hosted a discussion on Beyond Brady, basically the Rule 15.1 disclosure database. I had a lot of really good interactive questions with audience members, and I was really happy that they gave us an opportunity to talk about how that impacts with Arizona Post. Again, I think most of you in law enforcement attended the GOHS luncheon with Alberto. This will be his final year. It was a very nice event, a lot of good training. And finally, I've been talking about this for 2 years. The pandemic kind of slowed us down, but I've been working with IACP on an 8-hour officer safety and wellness program. It was finally completed a few months ago. I offered to host a pilot program here in Arizona. Jerry Williams and the Phoenix Regional Police Academy agreed to do that. So the end of last month, we hosted an 8-hour class on a Friday down at PURPA. They melded two classes together. We had about 20, 25 students. And I got to tell you, the training advanced and basic training staff jumped up. I gave them the curriculum. It was 125 slides, 8 hours of training. They all took sections of it and delivered it. First time they had ever presented it. It went really, really well. People from IACP were out here for the demonstration, for the pilot. Michael Rose and Dale helped film it. Dale's already created a draft of a sizzle reel that we're going to send out on that IACP asked for, that they're going to be able to send out for marketing. They did one more pilot the following week in Denver, and they're going to do some tweaks to the curriculum, then we're going to push it out nationwide. So it's an 8-hour class geared towards not only recruits, but also in-line officers. And it covers everything from financial wellness to physical wellness to mental wellness to suicide prevention. It's really, really well done. Each one of those classes can be pulled out individually. So if an agent says, I just need an hour on suicide prevention, Rick Van Kuren posted that class. It was really well received. So again, I'm really proud of the curriculum. It took a really long time, but again, it'll be going national here the next, hopefully the next 2 months. And again, we can say that Arizona Post had a significant role in this program. Mr. Chairman, with that, I'll end my executive director's report, but as always, happy to take any questions you or any other board members might have.
Any questions for the director? Good to go. All right, we'll move to approval of the minutes for the consent agenda, June 15th. Can I get a motion?
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson, so moved.
Second.
Jamie Kelly, second.
Motion approved. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Motion passes, and we will move into the first cases. So final action cases. Or actually, no, we're not going to move into final action cases. We're going to move into the Apache Junction Police Department petition for applicant Johnny John, correct?
That's correct, Colonel.
Okay, thank you.
Good morning, Colonel. Mark Brackdell with the Arizona Attorney General's Office. Good morning, members of the board. This first item is a petition request from the Apache Junction Police Department. The applicant is Mr. Johnny John. Mr. John is in the hiring process to become a police commander with Apache Junction PD. Mr. John has successfully passed the hiring process, except he has not passed the hearing frequency sound portion of his physical examination. Chief Pulley describes the work restrictions which will be placed on Mr. John in the event that he is assigned as a police commander. Specifically, Mr. John will be assigned a position which will not place him in a situation likely to result in the use of physical force. The board has the authority to grant a restricted certification. The board's analysis proceeds under Rule 103G, and I believe that Chief Pulley is on the line ready to proceed with his petition. Are there any questions of me at this point, Colonel?
I have one before Chief Pulley starts. With cases such as this, I wouldn't understand why this really wouldn't just go back to what the desires of the agency are if they feel he's qualified to do the job. My question, I guess, would be if the hearing aid works or something like that, can't they be a full-time sworn employee to do the job?
And that issue will come up on the next case, much more in depth, the Mary Boy case. But in this case, I have a petition in front of me where they're asking for a restricted certification because of a limitation, and the agency perceives an inability to perform all the essential functions. And if the agency determines that, then they ask for a restricted certification to balance that out.
Colonel, if I could, I think I can speak to your question a little bit differently. In answer to your question, no. Under our current rules, the AG doesn't have the discretion to waive any kind of medical minimum qualifications. I can tell you we've had multiple conversations in this office about the exact same thing you're saying. Is if an agency has their own doctor who's Arizona Post trained and they believe they meet the minimum qualifications to do the job effectively, we should give them that authority. I don't disagree with you on that. You will probably be seeing in the near future a recommendation from us to go in that direction where we, in essence, get rid of our medical manual. We have a job duties of a police officer or a peace officer, and then the agency enters into an agreement with their doctor saying, hey, these are the job duties. Do an evaluation. Are they able to complete these duties? If so, then they would, in essence, be good to go, and we would get out of that business of looking at medical records from one doctor, because we often have doctors giving us different opinions. So it's funny, I walk down the compliance office and see them oftentimes looking at medical charts, hearing charts, eye charts, and I don't think we should be doing that. I think that should be between the agency, the hiring agency, and the applicant and their doctor. So that's where we're going. But as of right now, as the rule stands, the board has the ability to waive in whole or part any of the minimum qualifications. We just don't as your staff.
Okay, well, I guess that's what I'm getting at here. So before Chief Pulley even begins, if we decide to just waive it in whole, can his new commander come on with no restrictions? And the reason I ask this is, having worked with and met people from special warfare groups, I would say 50% of them are wearing hearing aids. And quite frankly, probably a larger number of us that should probably be wearing hearing aids. And I may be one of those parties.
My wife would agree with you.
Yeah, exactly. Good point. And so, you know, I guess there's a touch of hypocrisy with this, in that after you do this business for a period of time, you're going to have diminishing hearing from gunfire, especially those of us who've been doing it for a long time. So I just, I don't. Do we have that latitude when he presents to say, hey, this guy can come on as in full capacity?
My understanding. Oh, go ahead, Mark.
Thank you, Director. I'm your legal counsel for these petitions, so I get to answer the legal questions.
Okay.
We have a rule in place, and the rule is clear that if the agency determines that there's an essential function, a police function that the applicant, it's questionable that the applicant can meet, that the agency initiates a restricted certification request. So the posture of this case, Mr. John's case today, is that. The next case is the opposite of that, and that's why I think that these inquiries are much more relevant for the next case, and they'll come up. I'll be discussing it, sir.
All right. Well, with that, Chief Cooley, I'll let you present and take it from there.
Thank you, Board. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Director, I appreciate it. I couldn't agree more with you. I just wanted to take this opportunity to let you know that Commander John is very well respected in law enforcement, has been working for the past 24 years as a police command, or comes from Tempe, working the past 24 years, the last few years as a commander of the Tempe Police Department, and we're anxious to get him on board here. If we could get him in a full capacity, that would be obviously the best case scenario, but I understand we have to do this because the hearing was what came into play here with the high frequency decibel hearing. So, but I couldn't agree with you more, and I appreciate your taking a look at this.
Okay, so, and I'll open it up to the board, but Chief, I'll just ask you one question. The bottom line is then, because there was a decibel level that was an issue, you're asking for the restricted certification. If not for that, you would just want him to be fully certified, correct?
Absolutely, I would want him fully certified.
Okay, so my question here is, can Chief Cooley during this request, my preference would be to request that he become a fully certified law enforcement officer and get a waiver from AZ Post Board for that?
Colonel, this is Mark Brechtel again. To answer that, I have to lateral over to your director and inquire if a medical examination has been completed on Mr. John, and do we have a medical examination report that post staff can review to help answer that question?
Mark, I'm not sure I understand your question. Yes, a medical exam has been done. The doctor notated the issue that's at discussion now, but I think what the colonel's saying is, does the board have the ability to just say, we waive this minimum qualification and we will fully certify him? I think that, in fact, Colonel, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think that's what you're asking.
Exactly.
Instead of going the restricted status, just saying, hey, we recognize that the doctor notated an issue, but based on what Chief Pooley has said, we would like to consider giving him a unrestricted certification.
Right.
And Mark, with legally, I again, I'm not a lawyer, but I don't see an issue with that because they've waived things in the past.
If I haven't seen the medical examination report or heard from the compliance specialist who conducted the review of the new hire audit of Mr. John, if that has been completed and if this is the only issue, I just haven't heard that. So if that is the case,
that Michelle, if that's my understanding, correct? Okay. Did you hear that? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We have not actually.
I got a little bit of a touch.
Fair enough. We have not received the complete A1 yet or the rest of the background. So we're waiting for this to continue with the process to see if this is going to be a sticking point.
Okay, but this wouldn't have come to our attention if Chief Pooley wasn't aware of it, brought it to our attention that he's seen the report. He sees this. There's this area of possible deficiency with hearing at high pitch. The bottom line is that's why we're here.
So
initiated by Chief Cooley.
So my recommendation would be then, if the board was so inclined, is to make a motion and consider approving Johnny John for full certification should the hearing issue be the only concern.
There you go. Okay. So And I'll open it up to the board for any other questions.
Mr. Chairman.
Sure.
Question for you, Chief. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Great.
Prior to this, was Mr. John's certification whole? I understand that this is a new evaluation, and that's where the determination of the hearing loss was present. Prior to that, did he have a whole, a successful state board certification, state of Arizona certification?
Yes, he is. From his time at Tempe Police Department, he's a fully certified peace officer at this point. Lateraling over to Apache Junction, the only thing that came up that needs to be corrected is or addressed is this hearing at the high decibel level.
Thank you, Chief. And one more question. It's my understanding that he's going to be used primarily in an administrative position.
He will be a commander. Yes, he will. Obviously, there will be times where he may need to go on the street, but this, as a commander, that's his primary function.
Thank you, Chief.
Any other questions for board members? Does anybody care to make a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move, based on the information submitted by the Apache Junction Police Department, pursuant to our conversation and discussions today, that we move to the board to grant peace officer certification to applicant Johnny John, unrestricted.
Thank you, sir. Can I get a second?
Mr. Chairman,
Kevin.
Go ahead, Lisa.
I was just seconding it, sorry.
Okay. We have a motion on the table. All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed, nay. Okay, the motion passes. Chief Pooley, he is unrestricted.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, every one of you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, and then we're going to go next into executive session, and I know that's a little bit of a challenge for everybody, so we have to...
Colonel?
Yes.
I'm sorry, if I may interject. This is Mark Brockdell again. The first portion of this petition is in open meeting, okay. And then at some point we will move into executive session.
All right. Sounds good, Mark. Appreciate it. Okay, so the next case up will be the Cochise County Sheriff's Department. And I believe that I'll let you start, Mr. Brockdell, and we'll go from there.
Thank you, Colonel, members of the board. Sheriff Driscoll with the Coconino County Sheriff's Office is requesting that the board appoint a lateral police applicant who is legally blind in one eye and has less than 20/20 corrected vision in his other eye. Sheriff Driscoll's petition is unique. Sheriff Driscoll is not asking the board to grant applicant Arnold Mary Boy a restricted certification, but instead he is asking the board to waive a post-medical screening standard and grant an unrestricted appointment. The applicant is Arnold Maryboy, and the sheriff's petition is submitted pursuant to Rule 103G. I want to highlight briefly the process of medical screening. This board has a process in place. So anyone who wants to become a police officer has to be examined by a doctor. A medical examination is required as part of the hiring process. POST requires that the physician who conducts the medical examination fill out a very specific medical screening form. Dale, would you publish that? So on your monitors and at your laptops at your desk is a copy of the two-page evaluation form. On the left side is page number one, and what you will read is that the doctor who conducts the medical examination is examining the patient for physical impairments and or mental impairments under some very specific categories. They include vision, they include hearing, and they include a multitude of other categories. Today's case, today's petition is about vision. Dale, would you publish the next? Thank you. So on the bottom right of the first page box is what the doctor is essentially doing in their medical examination, which is the doctor is identifying the physical or mental conditions that may interfere with the applicant's ability to effectively function as a peace officer on a continuing basis or may create a reasonable probability of substantial harm to the applicant or others. So this is what the doctor is conducting and doing, and this will lead to the doctor's eventual medical opinion. So I now need to discuss Mr. Mariboy's medical evaluation, but the information on this examination report is confidential by statute, so we have to go into executive session so that there can be that open discussion about it. And so it would require a motion to go in executive session to hear medical information that's confidential.
Okay. Can I get a motion to go into executive session?
Jamie Kelly, so move.
Thank you. Second?
I second the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Okay. So we have a motion on the table. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Okay. If everybody could step out of the room. If we are back in session, Mr. Brachtel, do I have to turn to you for anything, or can we just...
I had reserved something further, and I actually have nothing further at this time. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, does anybody have any comments before I request a motion in this case? No? Coconino County is requesting a waiver for Arnold Mariboy to be a full-time police officer. Can I get a motion?
I'm sorry, Colonel, I couldn't hear you. Are you entertaining a motion?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson. Based on the information submitted by the Coconino County Sheriff's Office and unique circumstances in this case, I move that the board accept the Coconino County Sheriff's Office medical examination report on applicant Arnold Mariboy and permit Mariboy's appointment with Coconino County Sheriff's Office to proceed.
Thank you. Mr. Robinson, can I get a second?
Joe Crazier, Tempe PD, I second the motion.
Thank you, Joe. And can I get all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Okay, motion passes. Mr. Mariboy, best of luck to you. Sheriff, thank you for making the drive down.
Jim, you could have brought some cold air up with you. I appreciate it, though.
Thank you. Okay. We are back to Director Giordano for Academy certification.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. This is just one of the things we've talked about recently is a lot of our regions are looking to start their own academies. The West Valley here in the Valley wanted to start their own academy. We connected them with Glendale Community College. They've entered into a partnership, and they're going to start an academy on the west side under the Glendale Community College in conjunction with Gripstick. So our staff reviewed all their documentation, reviewed everything, all their on-site inspections, and we recommend approval to allow them to operate as a law enforcement academy in the state. So it would require a motion from the board, but again, happy to answer any questions anyone might have.
Does anybody have any questions for the director? No questions. Can I get a motion for approval of the Glendale Community College Law Enforcement Academy?
Jamie Kelly. I move that the Glendale Community College Law Enforcement Academy meets all requirements of R13-4-114 and R13-4-116, and the Academy may provide the basic training requirements to receive certified peace officer status.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. Can I get a second?
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson, I'll second the motion.
Thank you. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, nay. Motion passes. Next one would be the Pima County Sheriff's Department driving track certification.
Very similar thing. Pima County provides us information, reference a track they use for their basic training driving. Per our rules, we have to inspect that. Lori Waite and her team went down and inspected the driving track, had no concerns. We would recommend approval of that, and just we need a motion on that as well.
Okay, can I get a motion on approving the Pima County Sheriff's Department driving track certification?
Mr. Chairman, Joe Papiri, I move that the Pima County Sheriff's Department driving track located in Tucson, Arizona meets the standard of R13-4-116B5 and may be used for AZ Post basic peace officer driver's training.
Thank you, Joe. Can I get a second?
I second the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Second. All in favor of the motion passing, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Okay, motion passes. On to the next item. Director Giordano, back to you with Arizona Post strategic plan.
Yep, and you know, I've talked a lot in the last several years of where we want to go. I've taken input from all the board members and where you'd like us to go. But what we thought it would be really important is to actually put that down on paper. What is our plan moving forward? And thank goodness for people like Chuck Miller, who for some reason really loved to do strategic planning, but Chuck took this task on. He got with all the managers here in the office. We all gave input from all of our respective areas. Chuck started to put together a loose plan, but again, I feel really strongly engaging all of our law enforcement partners. So we conducted a survey of agency heads across the state. We left it open for a month, solicited feedback on any concerns, any issues. We got, again, with a little bit of bias, we got really good responses back on what we're doing. Did identify a few things we'd like to do better, and that's part of the Twitter, letting our partner agencies know what we're doing. So if you look in your document, you'll see a draft strategic plan. I think it really does a really good job outlining 2022 through 2025, what we want to accomplish, what our goals are, and how we're going to do that. Again, we believe this is a final draft for your review. If you approve, we would like to push forward, incorporate this as our strategic plan, and again, put it out on our website, push it out to our partner agencies, and then it gives us a really good direction on where we're going to go in the next 3 to 5 years. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Anybody have any questions for the director?
Mr. Chairman, director, will you be revisiting your strategic plan annually to update and to massage it as necessary?
Absolutely. Copy. I said Chuck lives for this stuff, so he would do it every month, Joe, if I was like him.
All right, so do you need an approval for your strategic plan?
If you would, yes, sir.
Can I get a motion to approve the 2022-2025 strategic plan for Arizona Post?
Jamie Kelly. I move that the 2022-2025 AZ Post strategic plan be approved.
Okay, can I get a second?
Sheriff Schuster, second.
Okay, we have a second. Thank you, Sheriff. And all in favor?
Aye.
Nay. Okay, motion passes. All right, you have your strategic plan.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Very good. Okay, now we're moving into final action cases. Mr. Duran.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. First case before you is a motion to dismiss the complaint. The board issued this case on June 16, 2021. The respondent in this case is Lieutenant Brian Batcher. He's represented by Mr. Steve Shabalik. Neither Lieutenant Batcher nor Mr. Shabalik are present today. However, I've been advised that Mr. Shabalik agrees with the state's position and does not oppose the motion to dismiss. As I articulated in my motion, I conducted a thorough review of this matter, including all relevant information in the file, the administrative file. I also considered very significant factors, most important, a significant period of time that has elapsed since the misconduct occurred and the significant punishment the respondent had received from his agency, and the impact of the recent board decisions regarding stale cases. Therefore, for the reasons I articulated in my motion, I ask the board to dismiss the complaint in this matter, and I have to answer.
Well, I don't even know if I have a question or a comment, but I reviewed the materials that were provided in this case, and it's as convoluted as I think could be. Significant suspension by Phoenix PD. There's questions of veracity and whatnot in the case. There's almost like it's somewhat substantiated that there's a lack of veracity by this lieutenant. And then it gets too convoluted and moves on to something else. I guess this thing's been in the hopper for, 5 years, 6 years, something like that?
Yes, sir. Well, I should clarify. The misconduct occurred, I believe, in 2000, but the alleged misconduct occurred in 2016. The board didn't act on it until last year.
And this wouldn't have been brought before the board. I think this was discovered by AZ Post, right?
That's right.
With lack of much more information, I'll put it to the board for a motion.
Mr.
Sheriff Schuster, I'll make a motion to dismiss the complaint.
Okay, can I get a second?
Joe Perfetti, second.
Okay. All in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, nay. Okay, motion passes. Next case, Miguel Diaz, Santa Cruz County Sheriff's Department.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, again. Arizona Post staff responded to Miguel Diaz off the attached consent agreement for your review and approval. The respondent is not present, and he is not represented by counsel. The board voted to initiate proceedings against respondent's peace officer certification at your meeting on May 18, 2022. In order to settle this matter, the respondent has acknowledged the following. On February 23, 2022, the respondent was on duty and drove to the Sonoya Elgin Fire Station to use the bathroom. While at the station, the respondent began handling both his duty handgun and his assigned duty rifle, including disassembling them and reassembling them. He also allowed some of the firefighters who were present to handle the weapons. Respondents subsequently and negligently discharged the handgun as he was attempting to holster it. The extended round struck the concrete floor of the fire station, and shrapnel struck three firefighters, causing them minor injuries. The firefighters were treated at a local hospital, but they did not wish to aid in any possible prosecution. Respondent also failed to timely report this incident to his on-duty supervisor. Santa Cruz County Sheriff's Office sustained multiple policy violations against respondent, including neglect of duty and unsafe work habits, and he was terminated. The parties proposed that the board suspend Mr. Diaz's peace officer certification for a period of 18 months during the dates listed on the consent agreement. This proposal is within the range of permissible discipline for peace officers who have committed similar misconduct, and I am happy to answer any factual questions. Refer you to your independent advisor.
Anybody have any questions? I have a question. So, is where he didn't report in a timely manner, it's because he, what, took 2 hours?
Yes.
This 18-month suspension, is this like an overlap? Is this going to go past his certification and he won't be certified?
No, at the end of the suspension, he'll still have an active suspension.
He'll have a certification still?
Well, he'll be inactive unless, you know, until he gets to the trigger point.
But this young man, he didn't lie about anything. He told him what happened, right?
Correct.
I read some of this case. I don't think it was great judgment or anything, but it sure as heck doesn't look like he did anything to be malicious or nefarious in any way. He had a negligent discharge is what it came down to, right? And then they missed, you know, probably should not have guys handling his gun. And that's basically it.
Yes, I would say he was extremely negligent in this particular case. Yes.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
I move to accept the proposed consent agreement for an 18-month suspension of Mr. Diaz's peace officer certification beginning March 16, 2022 and ending September 16, 2023.
Okay. If we have no other comments, then I'll let that motion carry. Do we have a second?
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson, I'll second that motion.
Okay, second. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Okay, motion passes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay, next case is going to be Mr. Brackel on Roberto Reyes.
Thank you, Colonel, members of the board. In front of you is a proposed consent agreement. The parties are proposing a denial of eligibility for a 12-month period of time on a police recruit, Mr. Robert Reyes, who is present remotely and will want to address the board. And so a little bit of backdrop, a little bit of summary. This recruit, Mr. Reyes, was in the 14th week of the academy at the MCSO Police Academy. He was hired by the El Mirage Police Department. That night, in his 14th week, he drove his personal vehicle while intoxicated. He caused a reportable two-vehicle car accident and was arrested for DUI. His BA was 0.11. It was not extreme. It was below extreme, but nonetheless, it was 0.11. Mr. Reyes resigned from the police academy. And he is present here today. Would like to address the board as a gentle reminder to the board that we have a rule change, and now the board has the authority to grant a partial denial, temporary denial, and that is what this consent agreement proposes for Mr. Reyes. Are there any questions of me from the board?
No. Mr. Reyes, want to address the board?
Mr. Reyes, this is Mark Brachtel. You're up.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead and proceed.
Afternoon, board. So I'm Robert Reyes, 25 years old. I was fortunate enough to be given the opportunity by El Mirage Police Department to join the academy. At the time, I was very, I guess I could say, irresponsible with what I did. I take full responsibility for what happened that night. There's no excuse for what I did. I was going through some stuff in my life, my personal life. I didn't handle it correctly. That's no excuse for what I did. I've had a dream of being a police officer, following my dad's footsteps for my entire life. So I'm just hoping that I have that opportunity again. And I just want to thank everybody for being here and thank the board for going over my request.
Thank you. Anybody have any questions for Mr. Reyes?
Colonel, if I may, I'll just conclude. The parties agree that Mr. Reyes' actions are in violation of post rules. The parties propose that the board deny his peace officer certification for a period of 12 months, after which time he is eligible to reapply for certified status.
I have a question. So we just suspended a guy for 18 months for having an ND, the fire station, showing these firefighters his gun. And now we have a DUI with a recruit. We got 12 months. How are we getting to these recommendations of 12 months, 18 months? How do we get there?
Mr. Chair, we look at historical cases. We try to find like-type cases that, as you can understand, no two cases are alike. We roundtable that with our two attorneys, myself, Deputy Director Henry, our two compliance managers, and any of the respective compliance specialists who are working on the case, and try to come up with what we believe is reasonable. As you know, in a consent agreement, then we actually reach out to the party involved and get their input as well, and that's how we come up with these dates. By no means can I tell you that they're perfect. And that means I tell you that they're 100% consistent across the board because every case is different. Again, I would say that the difference between an on-duty, already certified officer's behavior and a 25-year-old recruit in the academy, we sometimes take that into effect. Life experience, training, how far along in their training they were. And that's how we came up with this period of time. We also tried to look at, in this case, what we would do with a fully certified officer who got into a collision below extreme DUI. So in this case, if this was a certified officer, we would be requesting or suggesting the same amount of discipline for a fully certified officer in this circumstance.
Okay. All right. With that stated,
I have a couple of questions, go ahead, Mr. Chairman. Sure. My first question is for Mr. Reyes. What's your current status with El Mirage? Did they terminate you?
He's muted. I don't know if he knows that.
Do we know?
Mr. Reyes, you're muted. You have to take your phone off mute.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Mark, but he was terminated in June of 2021, correct?
That's correct.
He was excused from the academy and terminated.
In some of the paperwork, it does say resignation.
You know, we actually use those terms interchangeably here. Or by rule, it's called a termination notice that the AGs supply to us. So again, unfortunately, we use those terms kind of interchangeably. So I don't know if it was a term. I don't know if it's a termination or a resignation. As you know, oftentimes in the academy, they offer the recruit the opportunity to resign. But I don't know specifically.
In the consent agreement, it says on June 21st, applicant Reyes resigned from the El Mirage Police Department.
So either terminated or resigned. He's currently not employed by El Mirage is my takeaway.
That's correct.
So to that point, Mr. Brackel, he's wasn't certified, is currently not certified, and the action we take today by restricting the certification for whatever period of time or not, it then becomes agency discretion. He has to go through a background process, reapply at that point in time in the future should he want to attain peace officer certification. This is a disclosable event to which an agency would have discretion whether they...
Absolutely, and yes. Yes to all of that.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions?
This is Kevin Robinson. I think I have a question more so for Sheriff Schuster and for you, Director Silbert. If I were one of your background investigators and I brought this individual to you a year and a half from now, are you going to hire him?
I'm not going to hire him, honestly. No. If I could expound on that, just
please.
For clarification, we're dealing with a recruit. This person has done no time in law enforcement. When we send our recruits to the academy, we expect them to focus on that task and that task alone. It's actually shocking to me that somebody found time during an academy period to go out and get liquored up and drive a car, so I would have no interest in hiring this person.
And my answer to you, Professor, would be the academy, to me, I've said this before here at the board, they're never going to be better than that. That's the best. That should be the best behavior they're ever going to be on. So for us, I think that the academy is actually a factor as opposed to a detractor.
Thank you.
And Sheriff Schuster, if I may, this is Mark Brechtel. What the rule change created was an opportunity for a young man or young woman, it could be an older person, for an individual who failed to have the ability to retest after a specific period of time. And that's what the rule created, was simply an opportunity. And whether an agency would hire this individual after his period or several years even after that is beyond that rule.
I don't disagree with that. I think somebody should be able to have that opportunity to redeem themselves, but I think it's just so fresh, you know. So,
if I could add, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, sir.
Mr. Brockel, and I completely appreciate that. This is my personal opinion, speaking for my agency. Obviously, he does not possess a certification currently. If he applies, I have no problem with the limitation on the 12-month stipulation. I'm just speaking from my personal view as the hire-fire for my agency, so thank you.
Thank you, sir. Okay, do we have any other questions? All right, and with that, can we get a motion in this case?
Mr. Chair, John Johnson.
Yes, sir.
I move to accept the proposed consent agreement and deny Roberto Reyes Peace Officer certification for a period of 12 months beginning June 21, 2021 and ending June 21, 2022, after which he may be eligible to reapply for certified status.
Okay, thank you, sir. Is there a second?
Just a brief second.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Weiss. And with that, there's a motion on the table. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, nay. Okay, motion passes. Thank you, Mr. Bracco. Okay, and then we're going to move into new cases, and we're skipping the first two. So we are down to Justin Truman and Mr. Bradshaw. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. This case involves former Gilbert police recruit Justin Truman. On May 3rd, 2022, recruit Justin Truman was untruthful with the Gilbert Police Academy staff when he claimed he had never vaped or smoked in the academy locker room. Academy staff had questioned the entire recruit class and asked if any of them had a smoking or vaping device in their locker, which is a violation of police academy rules, and no one said they did. Another recruit came forward and stated he had seen smoke coming from recruit Truman's locker on a previous occasion. Academy staff then contacted recruit Truman and asked him if there was a vaping device in his locker, and he replied he didn't believe so. Recruit Truman was then told that it's a yes or no answer, and he responded no. Recruit Truman was then asked if he had ever smoked or vaped in the academy locker room, and he immediately said no. Academy staff then questioned recruit Truman about being truthful, and recruit Truman then admitted to vaping in the locker room on one occasion. He was then terminated from the Gilbert Police Department. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends that the board initiate proceedings, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Anybody have any questions on this case? Can I get a motion?
Jamie Kelly.
Go ahead, Ms. Kelly.
I move to initiate proceedings to deny peace officer certification to Mr. Truman.
Thank you, ma'am. Second?
Second that motion.
Okay. Thank you, Joe. Second, we have motion on the table. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Okay, the motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Bradshaw. In the next case, Mr. Delton. Lucas C. Brennan.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I'm Mike Delton. I'm in your complaints unit. This case involves former Phoenix PD Reserve Officer Lucas Bremerman. Reserve Officer Bremerman was originally hired by the Phoenix PD as a career or paid officer in 2018. He worked as a career officer with the Phoenix PD until August 10th of 2021, when he resigned from his position. Bremerman became a reserve officer in September of 2021. Between September 9th, 2021 and October 22nd of the same year, Bremerman worked in an off-duty capacity as a police officer at least four times after supervisors within his chain of command had denied his off-duty work request and specifically told him he was not allowed to work off-duty until he fulfilled the reserve requirements for his first quarter as a reserve officer. Officer Joe Trujillo of the reserve unit learned Bremerman possibly worked an off-duty job on October 21st of 2021 and spoke to him about it. Bremerman was untruthful when he told Officer Trujillo that he did not work off-duty that day. The Professional Standards Bureau, or PSB, investigators conducted research and discovered there was reason to believe that Bremerman worked off-duty several times since becoming a reserve officer in September of 21. Bremerman later told PSB investigators he did work off-duty on October 21st of 2021, and he had worked off-duty about six, maybe eight times after he was specifically told he could not by supervisors within his chain of command. Bremerman admitted he was untruthful when he told Officer Trujillo that he had not worked off-duty. Bremerman told PSB investigators that each time he worked off-duty after becoming a reserve officer, he did not notify communications that he was working, so dispatch didn't know. He did not turn on his police radio, and he did not utilize his body-worn camera, all required by policy, because he knew he was not supposed to be working off-duty. Several policy violations, as well as untruthfulness to a fellow officer, were sustained against Bremerman, and he resigned his reserve status on October 22, 2021, prior to the completion of the investigation and any disciplinary proceedings. Based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Anybody have any questions? There are no questions. Can I get a motion?
Joe Crazier, Tempe PD. I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Bremerman's peace officer certification.
Okay, thank you, Joe. Is there a second?
Jamie Kelly, second.
Thank you, Ms. Kelly. We have a second. There's a motion on the table. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, nay. Okay, motion carries. Thank you. Okay, Saz? Michael Canizales.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Kathy Hawes, one of your compliance specialists. On January 10th, 2021, at 22:31 hours, Pima County Sheriff's Department deputies were dispatched to a reckless driving call of a possible wrong-way driver. The caller who reported this was complaining of a car driving west in the eastbound lanes. Another caller advised 911 the driver of the vehicle appeared to be passed out. Upon arrival, Pima County Sheriff's deputies found Michael Canizales, formerly with the Pima County Sheriff's Department, passed out behind the wheel of his car, which had been traveling westbound in the eastbound lanes. The vehicle was stationary at the intersection of Ruthroff and LaToya Roads in Pima County. Once he was woken up, Canizales was displaying multiple signs and symptoms of impairment and had clearly been driving the wrong way in traffic. He refused all DUI tests, however, consented to a blood draw. He was placed under arrest prior to the blood draw and transported to the Pima County Detention Center and booked on aggravated DUI, a class 4 felony. The results of the blood draw showed a 0.286 blood alcohol level. Prior to his internal affairs interview, Canizales retired from PCSD and the case was closed. On May 3rd, 2022, Canizales pled guilty to an amended count of driving or actual physical control while under the extreme influence of liquor, 0.286, a class 1 misdemeanor. He was placed on probation for 18 months beginning May 2nd, 2022. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends that the board initiate proceedings, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Anybody have any questions for Ms. Haas? If no questions, can we get a motion?
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson. I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Canales' peace officer certification.
Thank you, sir. Can I get a second?
Sheriff Schuster, second.
We have a second. We have a motion on the table. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Okay, motion carries. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Haas. I think you're up next because we're skipping two cases. So the next one is going to be Cody Sunderland.
Yes. On November 25th, 2021, former Wilcox Department of Public Safety officer Cody Sunderland attempted to intervene at a residential property in reference to a domestic situation involving friends of his and a possible firearm. This is all based on a phone call he received from one of the individuals at the residence. While he was still on duty, in uniform, in a fully marked department vehicle, at the same time, he did not notify his dispatch where he was going, did not activate his body-worn camera, did not interview anyone, did not take any photographs or do a police report. During this intervention, he transported a female who was a potential suspect slash victim slash witness to his personal reference and took into his possession a firearm possibly involved in this incident, which he also took to his residence for safekeeping. This incident was ultimately investigated by another Wilcox officer, Officer Williams, who had been contacted by a friend of one of the individuals who told him the male at the residence had threatened her with a firearm and assaulted her, as well as his own girlfriend. The friend told Williams that Sunderland had responded to the house and had taken one of the females and the firearm to his own residence. Williams was able to fully investigate this incident and arrested the male at the residence on two counts of DV assault and two counts of DV criminal damage. Williams indicated it was not clear what had already occurred between the time Sunderland was at the residence and what occurred after Sunderland left and Williams arrived. The differing accounts of the parties involved added to the confusion. Wilcox DPS sustained multiple written policies and procedures committed by Sunderland Sutherland resigned from Wilcox and is currently working for ADOT-ECD. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Does anybody have any questions from Ms. Haas? I do have a couple questions, ma'am. And I just want to try and get some clarity. First of all, the shotgun that he took out of the house, from what I read, was not part of a crime. He took it out for safekeeping.
Yes. That was his original intent, yes.
Yeah, that was, but that's
because
what
he didn't investigate anything when he was there.
Right, but that's what he did. And,
yes.
And this is a situation where it sounds like, from what I read, this young man crossed that line of trying to be a friend while, was he on duty or had he ended his shift?
No, he was still on duty.
He was still on duty. So he took the call at a friend's house, smaller town, and got involved in this situation and mixed the two things, being on duty police officer and being a friend, correct?
Correct. And during his IA interview, he was basically saying, I was just trying to handle this as a friend and not have it escalate any higher. So.
The other issue was, because when you hear that he took one of the females from the resident's home, that could come off to sound almost salacious, but from what I read in the report, he had called his wife and said, can I bring one of these people to the house to remove them from the situation? Is
correct.
That correct?
Correct.
Okay. Then the damage, because there's damage to a car and then there was a later arrest made and whatnot.
Correct.
But did those things happen? There was no evidence to say when this officer got to the house that he saw any of those crimes. He saw a verbal confrontation and knew that he was familiar with them having these heated verbal confrontations. Is that fair to say?
It's fair to say in his IA interview, he said the house is normally kind of disarrayed anyway, and so he didn't really see a difference, but when Officer Williams went out, he didn't know what that house normally looked like.
Right.
So he actually interviewed everybody.
Okay. So he went in with a clinical attitude as a professional police officer, whereas he went in as a friend.
Correct.
On duty. Okay. And he was terminated by the, or he resigned.
He resigned.
Resigned. Okay. Is there any indications that he did fail to investigate a domestic violence? Was there evidence of domestic violence at the house?
Based on Officer Williams' evaluation when he went out, there was enough to arrest the male that was at the residence. But in Officer Williams' statement, it was hard to determine what had happened after Sunderland left and what could have happened before Williams even got there. So that was never really clear because he was getting a lot of different information from the people at the residence.
Okay. All right. I'll open that up to the board for any other questions.
I do have one question. Is there a criminal case coinciding with this at all, or charges ever recommended or brought against Mr. Sunderland?
No.
And he's working as a sworn law enforcement officer again.
Correct.
With no other problems.
As far as I know that he was going through this process when I was working on this case, and he had an audit being conducted by another compliance person who ultimately passed the audit. So he is working through that.
Okay, so he's gone past an AZ post audit since that time in a polygraph.
With ADOT-ECD, correct.
Okay.
And they were aware of this case pending when they brought him on.
Okay, from your review in this case, I would ask, did you find that this officer seemed to be nefarious in trying to cover something up, or was just convoluted in his
ability to balance being a police officer and a friend?
My belief is that there was nothing nefarious there. He was just trying to handle a friend situation and let that override and kind of cloud his judgment and what he ultimately ended up doing, because going to that house where there was a gun involved, you know, he didn't really know to what extent, could have really gone south on him with nobody knowing where he was. And so I didn't see necessarily, and in talking to other compliance people, that it was something that he intentionally set out to do, but one thing added to another.
And when he removed that shotgun, from what I read, he was removing it, it seemed, because he didn't want that person to cause harm to themselves, not to somebody else. Was that, am I correct in what I read there?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, one question, please. Yes, Mrs. Hawes, I just wanted to clarify, make sure I didn't miss something. So this individual resigned from that agency and is now working as a fully certified peace officer for another agency.
Correct.
With the knowledge of this incident, the other agency did their due diligence and understood that hiring him on.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, this was pretty complex case, so I appreciate the clarity.
I accepted questions.
Yeah, well, because you're trying to get through it. You know, what we're looking for is what's the mental state of the person? Are they doing something that, you know, it's, like I said, I think I used the word nefarious or malicious, and that doesn't appear so here.
There was a lot in his internal affairs, there was a lot of hindsight. I probably should have, So
he was contrite. Okay. All right. Does anybody else have any questions?
There's a lot of thorough brows up there.
Well, I do have one question, Mr. Chairman. Kathy, with regard to, I want to make sure I understood this. I think I saw it in there. AZ Post reviewed his employment with the department, wherever it's at, with ADOT. And AZ Post is okay with that. Am I understanding that correctly?
Mr. Chairman, Professor Officer Kathy, if I could, on that. It's a very unique situation, is that until an officer has their full due process rights in an open Arizona Post investigation, we cannot and we do not use that against them in a new hire audit for a subsequent police agency. Hope that answers your question.
It does. Thank you.
Thank you both. Director, I guess what I'm getting at is before we're take action one way or another on this. I'm just trying to, because that's a long, arduous process, and then it comes back and whatnot, and, you know, I'm trying to work through that is really what the issue is. So, does anybody else have any other questions?
If I may, having started my police career in a very small town, these are not unique situations in those spaces. And it's very challenging for those police professionals when they're engaged in those spaces, whether it's family members, elected officials, people they went to high school with. Everybody knows everybody. And additionally, I question, and I put out into the ether, you know, at what point is, you know, do you draw the line at successful community policing and de-escalation techniques? In that space, and I wonder it aloud if there's any comment to that. Where does the line drawn between this guy trying to engage in, you know, his professional police process while at the same time doing some de-escalation techniques, and certainly he was contrite in recognizing that the line was moving the entire time he was in that space.
Yeah, I think I'll just in an opinion. I face these situations at the stage I am in my career where somebody calls you with something, and having over 33 years of experience, it's a little bit easier to say, hey, I don't get to take my police hat off in certain situations. Not having that experience, being in a small town, trying to do the right thing, I think is a factor. And so I'll leave it at that, and I'll let the board go with what direction they need to go. And anybody have any other comments or questions?
One additional clarification, please. Pause. I just want to make sure I understand. So during the initial investigation by the department he was with, did he only violate department policy? He had no way to identify whether or not when he got to that house there was an actual crime presented to him. He's saying he doesn't believe there was. There was no physical altercation. So the violations are not putting on the body camera, internal policy violations only?
Anybody have anything else? All right. Can I get a motion on this case?
Sheriff Schuster?
Sheriff, go ahead.
I'm going to move to close this case with no action.
Okay, Sheriff, can I get a second?
Jamie Kelly, second.
Thank you, Ms. Kelly. We have a second. We have a motion on the table. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? Okay. Motion carries. Ms. Haas, thanks a lot. You're really informative and you bring a lot of clarity to that. Thank you. Okay. And the next case is a pass. And then Darcy Nichols has the next case on Mr. Isaac. Okay, that's not Darcy Nichols.
Darren is filling in for her today.
All right. Doing a heck of a job.
Good morning, Chairman. Excuse me. Good morning, Chairman and Board members. I'm Darren Martinez, one of your compliance specialists. I'm here to present case 2022-098 on behalf of compliance specialist Darcy Nichols. This involves
Director, what are you doing to these people before they get here?
No water allowed.
I actually took a sip of water before coming up here and started choking on it. So
it's nice to know we can have that effect on you.
Okay. Sorry about that. This case involves current Tohono O'odham Nation Police Officer Eric Isaac. Eric Isaac completed an employee history questionnaire required for the Mandatory Bureau of Indian Affairs 5-year employee background investigation, attesting that all the information was complete, true, and accurate. During a review of the questionnaire, professional standards investigators discovered that Officer Isaac was untruthful in several areas as follows. Officer Isaac omitted several contacts he had had with police, including being Mirandized and questioned as a possible suspect in the sexual abuse of a minor case. Officer Isaac omitted the address he lived at with the minor victim of the sexual abuse case. And Officer Isaac omitted information regarding the vehicle accident he was involved in. An internal investigation was initiated upon discovering Officer Isaac had provided false information on the questionnaire. The investigation concluded that Officer Isaac committed malfeasance as a public servant / police officer for the Tohono O'odham Nation Police Department when he purposely falsified mandatory BIA 5-year background investigation documents. Officer Isaac is still employed as a police officer with the Tohono O'odham Nation Police Department and is currently working in an administrative capacity. Regarding the sexual abuse of a minor case, the Pima County Attorney's Office reviewed possible charges against Officer Isaac but declined to charge him due to insufficient evidence. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings, and I'm happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody have any questions? Okay, with that, can we get a motion?
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson. I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Isaac's peace officer certification.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Is there a second?
Just a very second.
We have a second. Thank you, Joe. Motion on the table. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Motion carries. Thank you, sir. Okay.
You good, or do you want to?
You want another?
There's nothing you can tell him that we're not going to tell him later.
I'm going to get one in.
Is nice to know we get people choked up when they get up here.
But just for the record, that is Darren's first presentation, and he's doing a phenomenal job.
All right. Director, it's back to you for future agenda items.
You know, just all the things we pulled off, you'll see those on future agendas. We'll get those cleaned up for you and resubmitted to you. We are taking a very deep dive look into the medical procedures. Obviously, those two cases highlighted things, and I'll always tell you, I'll never understand why someone's good on a Friday at Mojave County but isn't good at the other MCSO on Monday. It just doesn't make any sense to me. So we're trying again to be what is reasonable, what's in the best interest of all of our partner agencies, and what's in the best interest of the community that we serve. So we'll bring something to you in the hopefully the near future and look for your guidance and support on making some changes.
Well, that's great. And I'll tell you what, you know, Sheriff Schuster is his first meeting, and we're out of here in like an hour and a half. So I don't know what he brought with him, but
he said he had a late afternoon meeting. We try to get him back in time. So.
There you go. Okay, well, with that, can I get a motion for adjournment?
So moved.
Okay, so moved. We are adjourned.